you have your Bibles, you might turn with me to Romans chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28, or you can look in your bulletin where it's printed there as well. Beginning to read God's Word at verse 28 of chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are His call, who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. May God bless to us that portion from His holy word. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this encouraging word, for this powerful word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You will hear God speak to each one of us through this word this morning, that we might rejoice in its truth and glorify You, dear God, for its reality. In Jesus' name, bless us, we pray. Amen. I'm preaching again in Romans, and it probably is going to sound familiar because I preach very often at this passage in Romans 8 because it's one of my favorites, and I figure if I get the chance, I can preach what I want. There was an old Southern preacher years ago that said that he preached on the same verse every Sunday for 65 years and never repeated himself. Well, I'm going to try to do not quite the same. It may sound familiar, but it really is, hopefully, not going to be a repetition of something you've heard already. But we're coming here to this passage of Scripture, and we're introduced to what is called the golden chain of theology. Or if you prefer, the golden chain of soteriology, which is the study and understanding of how God saves His people. And this golden chain starts in eternity and stretches all the way to eternity. And each one of the golden links is welded together by God, so nothing can separate it or change it. Out of the depths of God's loving heart came the purpose and desire to save a people for Himself. Now we may ask the question, why? And reasonably ask that. And ultimately, there's only one answer, because of God's love for us, that He chose to love and to select and to call out a people for Himself. And we see that throughout the history of Scripture, how God always takes the initiative. It's not we who take the initiative. If I can speak personally for myself, even when I'm coming to Him, I'm kicking and screaming and trying to get away. But it's His grace constantly. It's His mercy constantly. It's His love constantly
that breaks down the resistance and calls us to Himself. Each link of this golden chain is forever welded together so that those who God foreknew, it says here in this passage of God, they are predestined in time and are called and justified and certainly glorified. But I want to stress that very strongly. The Scripture talks about that those whom He foreknew or foreknows. Now, a lot will tend to think that that means that God has the ability to see the future, which He does, obviously. But that His determination of how to do things is based upon His foreknowledge, that is, His knowledge of what we're going to do. And that is farther than the truth as you can get. Because what foreknowledge means, really, is that word to know, gnosko in Greek and so forth, is that to set His affection upon. It means to love. So those He loved ahead of time, before time, those are the ones that He also predestined in time. And I keep stressing that, in time, because this is not a myth. This is not some enjoyable story, Walt Disney would put out. But quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. This is something that is very real that happened in real time. Many theologians today want to take that historical reality out of the conversation. But if we lose that history, if we lose that sense of it being rooted in history, then there is no salvation for any of us. We are condemned forever. But because God came in history to redeem a people out of history, so to speak, and bring him unto himself, then we have a salvation that is real. And then nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we are predestined in time and then called and justified and glorified. And these golden links of grace are fashioned to a rock, a foundation, a rock that is in history, that is secured by God's greatest gift. I want you to look with me for a minute at that unspeakable gift. The ground and security of that gift that we have is a great blessing. I told you just a moment ago, I was talking just a moment ago of the rock of that rock foundation which everything is linked to. And that foundation is none other than the love of God. Here is the foundation beyond which we cannot go. If we're looking for the answer, why did God do this? And we've come to an answer, and we look for another answer, and for another answer. Ultimately, we can come to no other answer than because God chose to love us. Not because we're beautiful. I mean, I am, but the rest of you, No, it's not about that. In fact, if we turn to Romans 5, it's quite different. When we're enemies, when we're sinners, when we're against him and when we're opposed to him, that's when God expresses his love toward us to reveal it, to redeem us and to make us a particular people. And the old King James used to say, a peculiar people. And there is some sense to that in the OPC that we're a peculiar people. But it means that specific person whom God loves. And that's what he does. Beyond that, we can't go. We can't go beyond the fact that it pleased God to redeem a sinful people for himself. But why? Why redeem a sinful people? Because of his love. Why did the Father send his Son to the world and to die on a cross so horribly? Because of his love. Why did God call and forgive and adopt you and me and bring us to glory, ultimately, his love? Isn't that amazing? That God of all eternity wants to be in fellowship with you in eternity. And that he would arrange all of that so perfectly and so completely that you and I know that we will never be separated from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can do that. Not you, not me, nor anyone else. God is the one who holds on. There's a kind of a comical story about a guy that falls over a cliff. And he grabs, just before he is to die, a twig, a little thing off the edge of the cliff. And he's holding on and he's yelling out, "Help, help, help." Finally, there's a voice comes out of the darkness and he says, "I'm here. Let go and trust me." He thinks for a minute. He says, "Is there anybody else up there?" God doesn't leave us holding by a twig. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that reaches out to us in all of our needs. It's not up to us. That's what's so glorious about it. Always we look back to the motivation of this unspeakable gift, this incomparable gift, the gift of divine grace. It's because what? God loves you and me. He loves his people so that he might die for them. What makes this gift so unspeakably and indescribably great is that God exhibited this love in sending his own son to death for us. It is that gift of his son which transcends and transposes or transgresses. Transcends that word. Lauren's worried that I'm going to have a senior moment. Well, that was almost one. But it was God's own son that he sent. It was God himself who comes in the fullness of his grace to you and to me. Is it adequate? Of course it's adequate, because the Almighty God comes to you and to me in his grace and in his love. The Son comes, one who is equal with God, the same in substance and equal in glory, comes and gives himself as a gift of love upon the cross. There's no second-hand Christianity. This is right up there at top. It's our God who comes to take away our sin by the giving of his Son. His very person goes to that cross and dies for undeserving man. What an unspeakable, what a matchless gift that is. And it is a gift. You can't earn it, and you can't do anything for it. It is always a gift that God gives sovereignly to you and to me. And that gift is determined before the foundation of the world. But this gift is even more magnificent when we realize that he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. This gift was a sacrificial gift. It was for the Father gave up his son unto death, not sparing even his life. I think about that every once in a while in terms of my own son. You know, I don't think I could give my son up. How difficult that would be, my only son, that he would die if I could make that choice. But God willingly sends his only begotten son. That brings me all the way back, doesn't the Old Testament, about Abraham and Isaac. And God says to Abraham, "Take Isaac up there and kill him." And Abraham says, "Okay." But when he gets there, God says, "No, you can't, because Isaac is not going to be a sacrifice for sin. He can't be." He says, "I will provide my own sacrifice that will save a people, that will bring the fulfillment of his covenant promise. That he will gather to himself a people and redeem them and bring them into a new land, yes, but into a new inheritance." For the Father gave up his son
to die. Yes, the Redeemer came to deliver us because of his love for us. His divine love required divine justice to satisfy through the life of his Son, his only begotten Son. Such a death in itself is great, but there's still more. For the sacrificial gift which secured all these blessings was also a substitutionary death. You see, he took our place. That's what love drove him to do. It drove him to a cross to take your place and my place, to where we deserve to die. He took our place in our for our sins, suffering our pain and our hell. Taking our place. What a sacrifice God's love called for and freely gave. People ask me at times, you know, with fear when you stand before God, what will you have to say? I think the answer is clear. Don't you? God loved me and sent his Son for me. That's it. That's it. That's the length and breadth and height and depth of the good news. That we in our own sin can't stand before the righteous God. But in Christ we can stand proudly, as it were, in Jesus. I think I mentioned this once before, that Dr. Machen, who is one of the founders of the OPC, was dying in South Dakota in January of 1937. And as he was dying, he wrote a postcard to John Murray, who was a seminary professor, and he said, thank God for the active obedience of Christ. There's no hope without it. You see, Christ comes to do that active obedience. That means to take our place, to be our substitute, to be our sacrifice. To stand before us in the presence of God. To stand before us, before God, in his holiness, which is imputed to us, which is given to us, which is accounted to us. Although we don't deserve it, he gives it and gives himself. What a gift. The gift that God gives us is a sacrifice that he gave in all things, in all the gifts of grace, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the assurance of his favor, justification, adoption, sanctification, and even glorification are yours through Christ in faith. Because he went to the cross. He gave himself to be an effectual, saving Savior, to bring us to glory and to make us more than conquerors in Christ. You know, I can't help but stop here. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I always go back to this one. Husbands, listen to this. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the sacrificial gift that we can expend here on earth as we are Christians. How can we glorify God in that process by loving our wives? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you walked out of this door this day not only knowing that Christ is your Savior, but you men are walking as men of faith and men of strength, men of power, loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, I've gone a little bit from preaching a little bit of doing that, but I can't help it.
because I'm talking to myself as well as I am to anyone else. But anyway, going back to this, beyond, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are beyond the accusing finger of Satan, beyond the perils of life and death, and beyond anything that might separate us from the love of God, because we are in Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Here we have heard the word, now we're going to see it, in a sense, portrayed for us in its power and its glory. It's going to be the wine and the bread, the body broken and the shed blood of the Savior, that God has sent his Son to die for us, to die in that place, that sacrificial place, that substitutionary place, that loving place, that glorious place that we so undeserving are of. That's a terrible sentence, but you know what I mean. People of God, lay hold of the joy that is yours and the assurance that is yours, because God has chosen from all eternity to love you with all his heart. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. It's unspeakable. It's unimaginable. It is glorious beyond our comprehension. But to the extent that we understand, the extent that we can appropriate its truth, help us to glory in it and to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's turn and sing our hymn,
How Great Thou Art.